Coming up, I just want to tell you what we've been doing in Junior Church the last few months. We've been learning some scripture songs, and so I didn't actually ask the kids. I just told them we were going to do this, but we're going to sing a couple of the songs that we've been learning. These are both references from the Psalms.
Get a good look, Tammy. This is your future choir. Good look. A lot of folks weren't here today, but it was a blessing to hear from the children and some of them didn't get an opportunity. If you have your Bibles, look at Isaiah chapter 54. It's amazing how many times we have said, turn your Bibles to Isaiah 53. Maybe you know that passage. Some people have memorized Isaiah 53 by heart. I think it's interesting when we find out that God has more to the story. And he does here in his word. I love the book of Isaiah. It gives us an opportunity to see God's great design with, of course, 66 chapters. Helps us understand that it's like a mini Bible. Brother Ed Monroe is not here today. By the way, pray for the Monroes. We have been with them quite a bit at the hospital. And I think it's March 16th or 17th is going to be, Brother Ed is going to have hip surgery. And so we know Joy had that done already. And now Brother Ed has his time to be able to have hip surgery. And so I hope you pray for them. Joy just keeps on going. They are so glad she does up at the Capitol. She is a great help up there. You know, it's amazing because in the Bible colleges that I have attended in the past, one in particular told me in college that when you read the Bible, you cannot read the church into the Old Testament. And I think it's interesting that when we're looking at these verses, after much study, Isaiah 54, after much study, I have come to the conclusion that this text is talking about the church in the Old Testament. And it's actually a prophetic, what I call a prophetic consolation. And this prophetic comfort actually looks ahead at things through the eyes of Isaiah that given to Isaiah and was preserved for us for this morning. But this text is meant to comfort, but it's also meant to encourage. It's meant to motivate all believers, I really believe, not only to worship God and be able to walk with God, but also to work for God. I really believe that's why we breathe, is to work for Him. I can't help but think of
different times where people would see the same thing being preached or hear the same thing being preached and perhaps not see it that way. Last week, Mrs. Huggins came to me at the door and said, that particular text, I have read that in Romans 12 all of my life. I have it memorized, but I never saw those things in there before, because God is opening her eyes concerning the Scriptures. And I hope that it happens this morning for you, that you would look at this in depth and realize that this particular portion of Scripture is very valuable. The first few verses, I really think the whole passage is wonderful, and we'll probably cover a lot of these verses. But also I want you to see that this text is interesting in history, as the subject, it really was the subject of William Carey's memorial sermon, the preaching on which took place in Nottingham in June 1792. But without extravagance, he preached the message to have marked an epoch, if you would, in history concerning modern missions. After observing that the church was, in these words, compared to some poor, desolate widow who lived alone in a small tent, that she would thus be lived, perhaps in her life childless, was told to expect an increase in her family as would require a much larger dwelling place. And this is because of her maker was her husband, whose name was not only the Lord of hosts and the Holy One of Israel, but the God of the whole earth. He proceeded to bring out, William Carey did, the spirit of the passage in two memorial, kind of in a way that people could remember these words. He brought it out in two fashions. Number one, he said, expect great things from God. Can anybody give me the last part of it? Not only does it say expect great things from God, but also what? Anybody? Attempt great things for God. And so this really, in a private conference with his brother, and immediately after the sermon, Carey formally laid himself on the missionary altar, saying to Pierce and to Fuller, the men that were in charge of the missionary movement, in those words he said, I will go down into the pit if you will hold the ropes. And so was formed the Baptist Missionary Society, and a mightier impulse giving to missionary zeal, not just to the Baptists, but to many others all around the world. And so this particular passage is significant. I think it's important when we're talking about expanding the blessing. Let me just say to you that it's not just expanding materialistically. I really believe that God desires for us to expand in the area of helping people see the Lord Jesus Christ. A place where some people would have enough concern to say, if you lower me into the pit, I'm willing to go. And of course, he was saying that if you were able to give me the finances I need to be able to do what I believe God is calling me to do, I will go. And of course, William Carey went. And so this passage should make us sing. And if we're talking about why we should sing, we're looking at the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Many of us have this part memorized. Remember, who's going to believe our report? And how are we going to be able to express this? Look at chapter 53, verse number 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form of comeliness. And when he shall see him, when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the third verse. He is despised and rejected of men. He still is, by the way. He still is rejected by men. Today, I think it's important for us to know that not everybody is going to be happy with your testimony of Jesus Christ. There's going to be times when you're going to express how good God's been in your life, and there are going to be people around that don't want to hear it. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. And so we see this particular portion of Scripture is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's talking about not only the Lord Jesus Christ, that he came and he was rejected, but he was actually crucified. that they hated him enough that they would crucify him. And many of the Jewish people would read this portion of Isaiah and hopefully come to the conclusion that this is talking about Jesus Christ, the Messiah. I think it's important for us to know that there is a part of this that gives us an understanding of the contusions of Jesus Christ, of all of the lacerations that he had and these perforating wounds and all of these things that happened to the Lord Jesus Christ before he died. They abused him. They beat him. And then they laid him in a grave to die. Of course, we know that Jesus Christ did die, and on the third day he rose again. I believe it's important for us to understand this. And so when we see this and we understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, therefore then we have the desire then to sing the next chapter. Verse number 1 says, "Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud that thou that didst not travail with child. Nor for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, thus saith the Lord." It's interesting that we think about this because he's giving us the opportunity to be able to understand that there's something more than childbirth, that there are going to be people that will actually come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that there has been women that have gone to the mission field that have said, I forfeit this whole idea of having a family. I'm in God's family. I am going to see to it that these children will understand what it's like to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And she becomes their parent, basically. Amy Carmichael, they called her the White Mama. Remember that? That's what they called her. And she was trying all she could do with her whole life, was flooded in. She didn't care about having a husband or having children. She wanted to take the gospel to these children that never heard. And with social media today, I'm constantly being bombarded with friendship from other countries that are saying, "Can you help us? Can you?" And they show me pictures of little children that never have heard the gospel. Maybe have never heard the words of Jesus Christ. I don't know. And we can't meet all the needs, but there are people that are in great need for us to understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ needs to get out. And this was the thrust, I really believe, in Carrie's message, that we can sing. And it's interesting as we think about this, because I think we're talking about the church. And when we're talking about the church, I'm not talking about 1801 South Thompson Drive. This is where the church gathers. This is where we decide to get in our cars and point them toward this place. When people drive by here, they say, "That's where I go to church." When we're talking about church, we're talking about those that are called out into the family of God. The church can meet anywhere. If the Lord wanted us to close the doors here, and they did for a while, at one time, they closed the doors and went into a high school or a school to be able to meet for a while they built this building. We used to meet up there on right across from Farm and Fleet. That was the Grace Baptist Church. That's where they met. That's where they assembled. And so when I'm talking about this portion of Scripture is to the church, I'm talking about each person that has come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe you know who He is. And maybe you've traveled a little bit now in your mental ability to know that there is a Jesus and you need to go to Him. There is a need for you to open up your heart to Him now. Maybe you have opened up your mind. Now it's time for your heart. Jesus Christ wants to come in. He wants to abide in you. He wants to comfort you. He wants to strengthen you and help you and guide you. And so when you say, "Yes, Lord, yes, I open up my heart. Would you please save me?" And you turn from your sin, I really believe that Jesus Christ will save you at that particular time. I don't think it's very hard. I think we make it hard. We make religion difficult. So I want to give you 7 things rather quickly, maybe 8, that will help you understand a little bit more how powerful this is. Number 1 is because God Himself is the founder of it. The founder, of course, and the foundation of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 20 through 22, "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the what? The cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." Matthew 16, many of us know this particular portion of Scripture because we think it's talking about Peter, but it's not talking about Peter. In Matthew chapter 16, verse number 8, the Bible says, "And I say unto thee that thou, Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." And if you look at the passage, he's talking about the incarnation or the deity of Jesus Christ. Many of us don't really understand that the Lord Jesus Christ came to reveal himself and to show us who he really is. I think if you turn over to the book of John, I want you to read some verses with me, if you would, concerning this. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ and everything we do is built upon him, the deity of Christ. And so he will build his church upon this rock, upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the rock of ages. We sang about it here in this book. I think it was the second, or in this song, right before the message. I think it was the second verse of that song. It was talking about the rock that we follow and the rock where the water comes from. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Upon that understanding and that truth that he came, that he died, that he rose again the third day to be able to save us, is the rock that he's talking about. The Bible says in chapter 14 of John, if you have your Bibles open there, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are what? As if it were not so, I would have..." So I go to... Many of you have it memorized already. Very good, class. Very, very good. Look at your Bibles, if you would. Verse number 3. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Aren't you glad he said that? Because this world is not really friendly to me anymore. I'm not really enjoying this world that much anymore. Now, I'm a big-time fisherman. I love to hunt. I love to trap. I love to take my four-wheeler and see how fast I can get it going through the woods and be able to dodge the trees. I like doing stuff like that, right? And sometimes I just take the four-wheeler and I get up on the hill and I look down at the farm and I look at my house, and then I get to see my son's house now from the hill. And I think, praise God, he's been so good to me on this earth. And I have some comforts here, but this is not my final home. I am going to go to be with the Lord someday, and I'll be with him forever. And every child that has trusted Christ as their Savior will be with him. That's a promise. That if I go, and he did, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Listen, Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me." Listen, if you don't get anything else out of this sermon, memorize this verse. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. If you believe in him, you have also the Father with you. Look what it says in verse number 7. "If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. From henceforth you know him and have" what? We read this in the men's Sunday school class. Do you grasp verse number 7? I kind of like the number 7. You know, and this verse is very special to me because it says in verse number 7, it says, "If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him." Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it'll satisfy us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the" what? "And how sayest thou, show us the Father?" How many believe in Jesus Christ this morning? Praise the Lord. And you know what? You have Jesus, but you also have the Father. Because this is the deity of Jesus Christ. These are the
absolute certainties that we as fundamental independent Baptists continue to teach and preach. And you know what? If we're too baseline and too basic for you, then that's okay. There's a lot of intellectual churches around. But I hope as long as God gives me the opportunity to preach the truth of His Word, that I would continue to have you understand the basic truth that when the disciples were looking into the eyes of Jesus, they were looking into the eyes of God. That's an incredible thought. You know, we sing that song, Mary, did you know? Yeah. It's amazing. I believe she did know. And I believe that you know. So we understand, first of all, that Jesus is the rock and the foundation of what is talking about in Isaiah 54. Giving us an understanding that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to form, I really believe, what we would call the church, the called out ones that trust in Him as Lord and Savior. But I believe also, number two, is that every nation and tongue under heaven shall be part of its inhabitants. That's why we should rejoice. It's not just for the Americans. This particular truth is supposed to be taken from America into the other parts of the world. That's why we have so many missionaries. And look at the missionary board. We have two more to put on there now. I think it'd be good for us to get a flat screen so that all the missionaries can be seen over and over, and how that you can be able to enhance and understand a little bit more of missions. Today we saw the evidence of God working in the Ukraine and in Russia because of an individual getting saved who spent time in prison, who maybe perhaps could have died there. I was able to go into the church and where he preached when I was there. And I go down into the basement and the walls are just covered newspaper clippings of all of the times that he was incarcerated. And I was able to be in that church and see these people and how at one time they used to go to the woods and serve the Lord with Russian soldiers near them. But they would worship this Lord Jesus Christ. And so this joy and this singing and this happiness is coming out really in the first verse of chapter 54. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ coming, and every nation and tongue under heaven shall be part of its inhabitants, what we call the church. Revelation 5:9 says this, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Revelation chapter 14, listen to these verses 6 and 7. I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and sea and the fountains of waters. It's interesting as we think about this, because the song that they are singing is singing it to the Lord Jesus Christ, talking about the gospel coming to every nation. When I was in Bible college, we had a great thrust when it came to missions at Northland Baptist Bible College. Toward the end of its time that I was there in 1997 is when I graduated. Up until 1997, I really believe that college is one of the best colleges in the country. And I love the faculty and the staff. There was humble pastors that came back and were able to be part of the ministry there. There was missionaries that came off the field to help support. And there was this desire to go. In fact, one year that we had was a missions theme was the whole year. And many of us were saying, we're going, but we're willing to stay. And many of them went to the mission field. And I know that there are missionaries today that are on the field in Russia and in the Ukraine, in different parts of the world, in Brazil and some of the South American countries. They're there because of the missionary thrust of those that were in the pulpit back there at Northland Baptist Bible College during those days. And ultimately because of the gospel of Jesus Christ that needed to get out. So I think number three, it's because righteousness shall be its basis. In other words, the baseline. And going back to understand that the church, really, righteousness is its basis. And let me just see this in the text, if you would. Look at verse number 14 of chapter 54 in your Bible. Look back, if you would, to Isaiah 54. And look at verse number 14. It says, In righteousness shalt thou be established.
and thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come thee. But look at verse number 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, every tongue shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of thy servants of the Lord. Underline this last phrase, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. That is imputed righteousness upon you and me. We don't do good and then we're supposed to be so good and moral that God is going to accept us. Morality is nothing without Jesus Christ. A person can be moral their whole life and still die and go to hell. What is morality without Jesus Christ? We must have His righteousness imputed unto us. I'm so thankful that it's been done by faith. That I need to live pure, I need to live clean, I need to live holy. But it is His righteousness that satisfies God and is imputed unto me and unto you. I think it's interesting as we're thinking about this because there is a desire then for the Redeemer. And the Redeemer is mentioned here in the text in many places. But look at verse number 4 and 5. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, and neither be thou confounded. For thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is His name. And thy what? Thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall He be called. I think it's interesting when we think about Him as being our Redeemer. I love certain hymns, and I know you do too. I don't like it when we start singing songs that don't give us good doctrine. There's going to be hymns, but there's also going to be spiritual songs, right? But the hymns to me are so sweet. I love it when you sing them together. I don't mind singing on a Sunday night, the whole night, just listening to some of the songs. You that know me best know that my favorite hymn is Come Thou Fount. I whistle it and I sing it, and I think sometimes it's like, where did that come from? And then I'm reminded that the Holy Spirit will bring things to my remembrance. And you'll remember these hymns. I love this one. It was written by Philip Bliss, of course. Looks like James McGranahan is the man who wrote the music. And this hymn, the hymn As I Will Sing of My Redeemer, was found in a piece of baggage rescued from a fiery train wreck on the day of December 20th, 1876. The writer goes on to say that the author, 38-year-old Philip Bliss, had been traveling with his wife to Chicago to help in the D.L. Moody Tabernacle service. In Ohio, a bridge collapsed and the train plunged into the icy riverbed. It is said that Bliss survived the fall and then climbed out through a coach window, only to return looking for his wife. Reunited, they died together in the flaming wreckage. This hymn is a very simple expression of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think it's taken from 1 Chronicles 16:9. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye all of His wondrous works. Let me just read to you some of the writings that were there. It says, I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross He suffered from the curse to set me free. We know the chorus. Can we sing it together? Sing, oh sing. I'll try the best, okay? Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer. With His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. I don't know about you, but sometimes when we sing or when we read these songs, we so relate with the writer. But we more so
relate with the Spirit that writer wrote and gave us an opportunity to be able to understand a little bit more of what he was thinking.
It goes on to say, I will tell the wondrous story how my lost estate to save. In his boundless love and mercy, he the ransom freely gave. I will praise my dear Redeemer, his triumphant power I'll tell, how the victory he giveth over sin and death and hell. I will sing of my Redeemer and his heavenly love to me. He from death to life hath brought me, the Son of God, with him to be.
It's interesting as we think about these songs because it makes us want to sing. And maybe there has been something in your life that has caused your song to go out. I don't know.
Maybe there's something that's going on right now in your life that you don't sing like you used to. We take our hymnal and we say turn to number 7 or number 25 or whatever, and you choose not to pick it up. Maybe some reason you are actually a person who has walked away from singing. Sometimes when I'm up here as a pastor and I watch and I see different men that are part of our church and part of our ministry, and I don't think it's necessary for me to judge them, not in any way, but sometimes they don't sing. And I'm thinking, what's going on within their heart? How come they're not singing? Doesn't everybody want to sing? Well, sometimes the song goes away, doesn't it? And for a period of time, we don't want to sing. But then when God begins to work in our heart again, and we sense His Spirit working, it's happened to you. I've always said this. It seems like every 5 years I go through some kind of an internal revival. It's nothing I planned for or prayed for. I think it is a reminder that you are from Him and that you're born from above if He begins to stir your heart again. And sometimes even at working for the Lord Jesus Christ full time and constantly doing work for others, I think sometimes we get a little burned out, you know. It's like you don't want to sing as much. And then all of a sudden there's that beautiful His Spirit meeting my spirit in the middle of the night, and the song comes. And the desire is to just go on my knees, and I don't care who sees me. The tears come, the sobbing comes. And I say, Lord, I know You are there. What a beautiful thing to be part of the church. What a beautiful thing to be those that can sing. My grandfather has on his gravestone, I sing a new song. I must move along. Number 4, there is a close and intimate relationship with God. It will be its privilege. It's your privilege that you can walk with Him. The Bible says in verse number 5, look at it again, for the Maker is thine husband. He's thine husband. The Lord of hosts is His name. That's pretty powerful. Because it's talking to the church. It's talking to the bride. And this is what Isaiah wants us to know. That there is a need for us to expand this. Because it's bigger than you or me. It's not like we can figure it all out and maybe someday hope for it. The gospel needs to be going out all the time, consistently. And we need to do all we can do to make it go. But as we have this wonderful relationship with the Lord, He who formed everything by the hand of His power will make Himself known in the tenderest love. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 17 and 18 give us this understanding. Wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And what? I will receive you and will be a father unto you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. If you're not the Father's son, then who are you? Think about it. Who are you giving your time to? The evil one and the father of this world? Or do you want to give it to the Father that created everything? It's up to you and me to be able to give our lives to Him. But also the light and the truth is its heritage. Look what it says in verse number 13. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord. He's going to open our eyes. We talked about that this morning. John chapter 8, verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. It says in John chapter 16, verse number 13, howbeit
When He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall speak, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. I think one of the greatest things is this one, number six, peace will be its possession. You lack peace in your life. You know, God wants to give us peace. Look at chapter 54 of Isaiah and verse number 13. It says, "And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be what? The peace of thy children." It's one of the ways that you can tell they're His. Do they have the peace of God upon them? Do you have that peace this morning? I think it's interesting as we think about the peace, because in John chapter 14, verse number 27, the Lord Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Many times we ask people before they die, "Have you made your peace with God?" I'm asking you now today, have you made your peace with Him? You've been contrary to His ways. And by the way, He keeps pretty good books. You may keep your own books, but God keeps better books. He knows. He knows if you've been at peace with Him. But I think it's interesting because Duke University did a study on the peace of mind. And the factors found to contribute greatly to an emotional and mental stability in a person's life is this thing called peace. I like it when we can sense the peace in the home, because I think the children do a lot better. I think that children are stunted in their ability to mature if peace is not in the home. I really believe it. I believe mom and dads need to be on the same page. They need to be in prayer. They need to make sure that their peace with God is there. And if we're not at peace, we're going to walk into a room and people are going to know that there's troubles in your heart. The Duke of University went on to do a study and they came up with these same things. And I think it'd be good for us to just go over them rather quickly. Factors found to contribute greatly to emotional and mental stability are the absence of suspicion and resentment in the home. That's pretty powerful. The Bible says that the wicked flee when no man pursue it. Every time you take a drug, every time you drink something you shouldn't, you know it, Christian, that you shouldn't have done that. And then there's this paranoia about you. I think paranoia kind of actually hovers over 2019. I really do. Everybody's walking around being suspicious of everybody else, thinking that they're against them when they're really for them. And I know. I deal with people all the time. Did you know that God's peace will take away that suspicion of people? Are you at peace with God? I mean, this is Duke University found this. They went on to say that the wicked flee, of course, when no man pursueth. Nursing a grudge, they said, was a major factor for unhappiness. Number two, not living in the past. An unwholesome preoccupation with old mistakes and failures lead to depression. And some reason, for some, they just cannot get over the past. They are constantly looking at the past and they cannot get over it. And so they're constantly living in depression. Number three, not wasting time and energy fighting conditions you cannot change. Cooperate with life instead of trying to run away from it. In other words, we don't try to keep our kids from having hard times. Oh, we do the best we can with our children as raising them to be good men, but we're not always taking everything away to make it puffy for them. Let them go through hard times. They're never going to be able to learn how to live without it. It's important that we understand this. In order to have peace, they've got to be able to know how to deal with conflict, true peace in the heart. It's important for us to understand. So the absence of suspicion and resentment, not living in the past, not wasting time and energy fighting conditions they cannot change. Number four, force yourself to stay involved with the living world. And I say resist the temptation to withdraw and become reclusive during times of emotional distress.
because we would rather just go home and be by ourselves and eat marshmallows. Maybe just get those little packages of hot chocolate and just put two in a glass and watch the marshmallows melt and suck on them. And maybe that's the way we want to handle things. And I'm telling you, as a pastor and as a man that knows, the best thing you can do during your difficult, emotional, distressful times is to get out and help somebody else. The only way you're going to get over it is to get up and do something. And how many of us stay in that little chamber and we begin to put our bottom lip out and we pout? Have you ever seen a man pout? It is absolutely horrible. Because I looked in the mirror one time and I saw that. It's horrible. It's horrible. I've seen women pout, but it's not as bad as a man. Number five, refuse to indulge in self-pity when life hands you a raw deal. Accept the fact that nobody gets through life without sorrows and misfortune. It's all part of it. Number seven, do not expect too much of yourself. When there is too wide a gap between self-expectation and ability to meet the goals you've set, feeling inadequate, of course, is inevitable. But don't judge yourself. Don't judge yourself until you've given your heart to Jesus. Because you know what? He is your strength and He is your power. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Number eight, find something bigger than yourself to put your trust in. That's what Duke University said. I'm telling you to put your trust in these words right here, completely, wholeheartedly, and opening every chamber for it. Let me tell you something this morning. Those that have done that are going to be the people that will continue to sing and to rejoice in the Lord. But I want you to see the beauty in verses 11 and 12, if you would, of Isaiah 54. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay the foundations with sapphire. And I will make thy windows the gates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all the borders of pleasant stones. You know what? I think it sounds a little bit like the New Jerusalem explained here in Isaiah chapter 54. And this is what we have to look forward to. In Revelation chapter 21, verses 16 through 21, we have an incredible understanding of what the New Jerusalem is going to look like. What a beautiful place it's going to be. Yes, there are walls in heaven. It's been going around a lot lately, right? And it's to keep everything out that was not pure to come in. And by the way, let me just tell you, the only way you can get into those walls is through Jesus Christ, because He is the door. I think the last thing I want to talk to you about in closing is divine protection will be its safeguard. Isaiah 54, 14 and 15, look in your Bibles, in righteousness thou shalt be established and shalt be far from oppression. For thou shalt not fear from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall what? Shall fall for thy sake. Verse number 17 says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the what? Servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. As we think about moving forward and expanding, I would want you to take a look within. Have you done anything for the Lord? Would you like to do something for Him? It's up to you, dear friend, because Jesus has done everything for you. He's made a way. He's prepared. He's even given us the Spirit from on high to live within us, to give us the power. The same power and the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives within you. Romans chapter 8. So what are we going to do with it? Are we going to be bulimic? I want to encourage you, as we think about expansion here, I think God's looking for a group of people to bless and to do something great. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. I don't know where you're at spiritually. Maybe you came today and you expected something different. But maybe God is working in your heart. And maybe He's working in your heart way before. Maybe you knew that you coming here was God's divine calling, and you came today because you believe God wanted you here. And He's already working in you about something. And maybe this morning you'd say, Pastor, I agree with God. I believe His Word is true. And I believe God wants me to do something great. Maybe this morning you just let me know a little bit about your heart. And you'd say, Pastor, I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. God's calling me to do something. Would you pray for me? Is there anyone like that? Would you just lift up your hand and put it back down again real quick? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your honesty. And I'll pray for you. Is there anybody else with these would say, Pastor, God's speaking to my heart. I've been fearful, but I believe God wants me to do something. Is there anyone like that? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you for your honesty. Let me just ask you this question. Maybe you couldn't raise your hand. Now listen for just a moment. We'll be able to go to Culver's or whatever, but just listen to me. Maybe this morning you'd say, you know, I haven't taken the first step yet. Or maybe I have, but I didn't quite understand that Jesus Christ wants to save me. And maybe this morning, God has been working in your heart and you'd say, I do want to trust Jesus as my Savior. I want to open up my heart to Him. Would you pray for me, Pastor? Maybe you're here this morning and you are already prepared, but won't you raise your hand if that's you? I won't come and get you, but I'll pray for you. Is there anybody? But raise your hand and say, I need Jesus Christ in my life. Would you pray for me? Anyone? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? I need to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. God knows you. He can see your heart. Is there anyone else? Yes, I need Jesus. Just raise your hand. Put it back down again. Then this message portion here is for you, Christian. Oh, does God want to do something? He wants you to expand the blessing that He's given you to your children and on to your relatives, to your co-workers. Don't hoard it. If you need to come this morning, this is an old-fashioned altar. If you want to come and pray, you can do so. If you need to talk to one of us, just take me by the hand. I'll get someone that will pray for you and pray with you if you need to have prayer. But other than that, if you just want to come and just kneel down, you can do that this morning. Everybody, if you just would stand to your feet, no one looking around this morning. I'm going to pray, and as soon as I'm done, the invitation will begin. Father, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would guide and direct. I pray, Lord, that You would be in control of this invitation, that You'd work in the hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Calling you. Would you say yes, Lord? Every man and every woman in here, God expects of you. He does. Look what He's done for you.
plenty of time. You need to come. Make that commitment. Otherwise, right there in your pew, yes, Lord, yes. One more stanza. If you need to come, you come.
Thank you so much, Abigail. I appreciate that. I just wanted to say one other thing here this morning is that God has given us the opportunity to move forward. I told you once we raised $100,000 that I was going to hire an architect, and we reached over that. We've raised it. By the way, your bulletin has changed this morning. It doesn't say current. Sometimes things I get overlooked. I wasn't trying to mislead anybody, believe me. We have right now an opportunity to be able to move forward. We have raised, I think, $121,000, what we've raised. And by the way, we used $13,000 of that just surveying the property. Isn't that something? $13,000 went into the garage, and then $10,000 went into new air conditioners and heaters for the building. And so all of that, I think, adds up to $36,000. And so we've used some of that for those things. But that's much we've raised. We need to raise a lot more than that. But I believe we can. And I'm not shying back for this. I believe this is what God wants. I think that if we did not move forward when God opens the door, I don't think that pleases Him. I think He's showing us that we need to expand the blessing. And expand the blessing is expand the gospel, of course, but there's some great things that we need. I wanted to by now have a bulletin board in there to show you exactly what we have established. Hopefully we'll be able to get one up this week. But this is something unique. Lydia has them. This is actually tickets. We're not selling them. You can have them. But we want to know how many people. This is ticket number 157. So this is my ticket. And I would like to be able to go to the banquet. And it's the fundraiser banquet, March 2nd. But we want to have you have this. And so Lydia, I think, is in the Children's Church program. She'll be back there. But see her sometime during the day or sometime this week, and she'll give you a ticket. Everybody a ticket coming next or 2 weeks from Saturday. And it'll be a blessing. Dr. Marriott's going to speak. He's been through these things before. But I am confident, without a shadow of a doubt, that the Grace Baptist Church will look a little different a couple years from now. And my goal is in 2020, it's a 2020 vision, so we have some time to be able to raise the money, to be able to do the expansion. But you know what? Open up your heart and continue to grow, because isn't that ultimately what we want? Is an enlarging our hearts to be able to do more for God, more strength, more power, more influence. I just appreciate God's strength and power. Brother Tim Matthews is going to preach tonight. Brother Tim, why don't you make your way up here? Brother Tim's a good friend of mine, and praise the Lord for him coming in your plaid suit at Christmas time, along a couple years ago, 3 years ago. Remember that, Cindy? And it was a joy to meet him for the first time. And you still have that suit coat?
Yes.
Yeah. We'll look forward to seeing it sometime, because even though you're selling your house, you still got to come back up here. We still need to see you guys. You're very special to us, and you've been through some difficult things, but God has got you through that every single time. And it means a lot to me that you're here this morning. So he'll be preaching tonight, so come on back tonight. The roads will be better. But why don't you come and close our service, would you?
Thank you, Pastor. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the way that you have encouraged us and spoken to us from your word. Father, we are humbled that an almighty, omnipotent, sovereign God would take the time and the effort to have a relationship with us. Father, help us to not take that for granted, but to seek to grow that relationship that you desire to have with us. Protect us as we go our separate ways this morning. Bring us back again safely tonight, for it's in Jesus' name we do ask it. Amen.